Are fats and oils bad for you?
Should we eat them or should we adopt a fat-free, oil-free diet?
Well, we're exploring the myths surrounding this topic on today's episode.
Plus, we'll have a dedicated prayer session and more.
Join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, we're excited to be here and waking up with you.
We sure are. Today is International Day of Persons with Disabilities. It's a day set aside to help us all focus in on the challenges faced by people living with disabilities. How can you help a disabled person today or this week or even this month?
Well, one sure way is to appreciate them and their contributions, you know, to society.
It's also National Hug Day. So come here, honey. Let me give you a hug.
Thank you, love. You know, hugs are so special. Did you know that hugging someone actually releases oxytocin, otherwise known as a feel-good hormone, and can improve your mood? It can reduce stress and it can strengthen relationships. And it only takes about 6 seconds for it to kick in.
So friends, go ahead and celebrate this day. Hug your loved ones tight as you share how much you love them. See what a difference it makes in your day and in your relationships as well.
Yes, and speaking of making a difference, we want to make a difference in your day and throughout the day and throughout our program. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1992, the first SMS text message in history was sent. Neil Papworth, a 22-year-old engineer, used a personal computer to transmit the message, "Merry Christmas," over the Vodafone network to a colleague's mobile phone. While Neil Papworth sent the first SMS message, a simple Merry Christmas, he likely didn't realize the impact it would have. With that one message, he reached across a distance to connect and share joy with another person. It's a powerful reminder of how one small action can spark a meaningful connection.
You know, in our spiritual lives, prayer can be like that first message. It doesn't have to be elaborate or lengthy. Even a brief, heartfelt prayer can connect us directly with God. You know, prayer is a simple yet powerful way to reach out to God. We can express our deepest thoughts and needs and gratitude. Even a simple thank you or help me is heard by our Lord. You know, God always is ready to respond to our prayers, no matter how short or simple they may be. So today, let's remember that prayer is more than just an action. It's our spiritual lifeline, the first step towards opening up a powerful connection with the one who loves us so much.
Amen. Now it's time to bust the myths about fats and oils. Dr. Delia McCabe joins us on today's episode of The Incredible Journey to share the latest research and the real facts about fats and oils.
This is a really confronting topic for many of us. For years we've been told that fats and oils are bad for us. But now there's new research that says that some fat is necessary for our brains. So to find out the real facts, we're going to ask an expert in nutritional neuroscience, Dr. Delia McCabe. Welcome, Delia. We're touching on a very sensitive topic today. We're dealing with dirty words, fats and oils. Give us the rundown.
Fats and oils have gotten a really bad rap because, let's face it, the researchers who researched them decades ago didn't actually understand them. It's the most complex topic in nutrition, which is why most people are fooled by fats and oils and why there's so many myths around them. The truth is, if you can't make certain fats in your body, and if you don't get another group of very important fats via your diet, you will be deficient in them and your brain will not function optimally. So if you want to feel great, think clearly, be able to focus and concentrate, remember things well, be in a good mood, lose weight and be your perfect weight, sleep really well, have a highly functioning metabolic system, keep your heart functioning well, and have loads of energy, you need the right fats in your diet.
So are there good fats and bad fats?
Yes, we have good fats that are undamaged by light, heat and oxygen. We have bad fats that are highly processed and come in plastic. If we just remember, avoid the fats that come in plastic and in highly refined and processed foods, we'll be eliminating most of the damaged fats. Then we have good fats in our home that we do not heat, so we don't fry with them. We also don't eat processed fast food either because they're full of damaged fats. We need to respect fats and oils and eat loads of them to be optimally healthy.
Can you give us some examples of a source for good fats?
Well, avocados contain lots of great monounsaturated fats, and so does olive oil. But the fats that the brain craves are very, very sophisticated fats, and we call them omega-3 fats. So we find them in, for example, flax seeds, hemp seeds, and chia seeds. We find some omega-6 in walnuts, and almonds contain quite a lot of monounsaturated fats. But the omega-3 fats are the ones that the brain craves and needs to function optimally, because neurons don't work optimally when they don't have omega-3 fats. And neurotransmitters don't get released from synapses if they don't contain the right fats. So everything in the brain hinges on us having enough of the omega-3s and enough of the omega-6s that are undamaged to be able to develop and function optimally.
Can you give us some example of omega-3s again?
Flax seeds, yes. Hemp seeds, and chia seeds. But interestingly, we have to crush both flax seeds and chia seeds to get their omega-3s out, because they are protected naturally by nature with a hard covering. And we don't actually get those omega-3s until the seed has been crushed. So we should never crush any of those seeds and leave them exposed to light, heat, or oxygen, because they then get damaged. You see, the bottom line is, Gary, that it's the molecular structure of these fats that make them so potent and so critically important in the brain. The brain is the most energy-hungry organ, and it's also an organ that runs on electricity and chemicals. And these special fats and their specific membrane and molecular structure allows them to do that really important work. The brain is constantly assessing its environment. It's constantly assessing what it needs to do. And if it doesn't have these fats, that electricity and the chemicals, which we call neurochemical impulses, cannot function optimally.
Delia, we found out that fats and oils are not necessarily dirty words. Thank you for enlightening us on that.
If you're enjoying today's show, don't forget to share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or watch any segment.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with the Let's Pray team. But first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm mulching these vegetables. They're organic, you know.
Oh, that's a really good idea, because all the vegetables in the market are full of pesticides, aren't they?
So is that fish you're eating.
What?
Yeah.
No way. We all know that the biggest concern with pesticides is with vegetables and fruits, not with fish.
Oh, really? You've never heard of biomagnification?
Biomagnificent?
Biomagnification. You know, the big fish eat lots of little fish, which eat tons of phytoplankton plants living in pesticide-contaminated waters. And so as you go up the food chain, the concentration of pesticide gets magnified up to 10,000 times.
Oh, and I'm eating it?
Uh-huh. Happens with most meat.
Oh, no. So this is a chemical warehouse?
That's right.
So I should have ordered that phytoplankton burger instead.
Go vegetarian. Reduce your pesticides, herbicides, toxic chemicals, and your heavy metals. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back, friends. We are being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope, and we want to fill your life with the hope found in Jesus.
This morning, the Let's Pray team is with us for prayer. The Let's Pray team has the privilege of teaching and encouraging others that there is power in prayer. We're so blessed to have them here with us this morning.
Peter 5, 7 through 8 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Oh boy, That's a lot, right? We're going to cast all our cares and anxieties on him through prayer together right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another chance to be together as a community, Lord, and I ask that you would forgive us, Father, first and foremost. Thank you, Father, that we're forgiven, and I ask that you would refresh us with your forgiveness, allowing it to lighten our load, Heavenly Father, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So we cast, literally throw our anxieties on you at your feet, Father. We were never meant to carry that stuff in our person. We were always meant to carry it to you, even with one another, Jesus. When we bear one another's burdens, Father, we bear them to you because you're the only one, Father, who's able to hold them, who's able to not be crushed by them, who's able to heal and bring whatever is needed, Jesus. And in a world full of stress and anxiety, you're the peace that we need. We can call on you because you care for us, Heavenly Father. We can be wise to the enemy's schemes, alert and sober of mind, Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean that we want to overly focus on him or we want to give him any credit, Jesus, but we do, Lord. We want to be wise. We want to understand, Heavenly Father, what his voice sounds like, what the accusation and the lies of the accuser sounds like, Jesus, versus your loving and your kind voice, Father. Because there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And so for those who are under stress and anxiety today, worried about schedules, worried about families, worried about finances, Lord, real, tangible things that are going on in our lives, Lord, that really are a struggle. Whatever those things are, Jesus, I pray that we would cast them at your feet. And that every time the enemy tries to get us or our flesh wants to try to manage all the outcomes, Jesus, and pick it back up, I pray that you would remind us with your sweet Holy Spirit, lay it back down. But Jesus, I just want to, he says, let me handle it. I'll tell you when to move. I'll tell you what you need to do. I will open that door. I will close that door. Thank you for your sovereignty over our lives and the fact that you don't need us to handle all your stuff, Jesus, because you're able. Your grace is sufficient for us today. So, Father, I pray that we would be wise to every way the enemy attempts to pull us out of peace and that we would stand firm in the name of Jesus, putting on the full armor of God, praying in the Spirit at all times in the name of Jesus, and that we would stand, therefore, as the Word of God says. Jesus, thank you for your holy fortitude, not to just go and do, but your holy fortitude to simply stand. Father, like Nehemiah did when Sanballat tried to get him to pay attention to things that had nothing to do with what you wanted accomplished, Lord, with had nothing to do with building your kingdom, was chatter from the outside, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be clear and to be focused, and to not participate with anxiety, to not participate with stress. And in every way where we have said, oh, I have anxiety today, which I have said so many times in my life, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, that we would no longer agree with what the enemy says over us, Lord, that if we are dealing with anxiety, Lord, that you'll guide us, you'll teach us, you'll help us. If we need to talk to somebody, we'll go talk to someone. If we need something, you'll guide our steps. You'll never leave us or forsake us, Heavenly Father. But I pray, Lord, that we would choose peace because you said it's peace you give, not like the world gives. And I thank you for that, Lord. And later in 1 Peter, it says that after we have suffered a little while, you yourself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. So even in the midst of this struggle, we have a promise from you that you yourself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us according to 1 Peter 5:10. And I thank you for your promises, Lord. Right in the middle of stress and anxiety, Lord, we choose peace as a stance of fortitude in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, I pray that you're encouraged and that you're feeling a little bit of that holy fortitude in your day today. If you started out shaken, I pray that you are settled in the name of Jesus. Remember, he's with you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. You know, we always enjoy praying together.
We have to take a short break now, but when we return, we have an inspiring devotional message just for you. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are so happy you stayed with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here from the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. I want to start by telling you a story. When I was a young woman, I took some classes on how to make my own dresses. And my mother was coming to visit. I was in a college far away from where they lived. And I didn't have any material. And I said, I'm gonna use my sheets. Nobody's gonna figure out that my new sheets are now my new dress. So I took my sheets and made a beautiful dress. And I was waiting for my mother to come visit. I was like, she's going to be so proud of me and nobody's going to know that these are my sheets because, you know, they had nice stripes, different colors. And the day arrived and she came. And when she was far away, I'm wearing my dress so proudly. And when she's far away, she looks at me and she goes, "What are those, your sheets?" That's what she said. I could fool everybody else except my mother because she knew me very well. And she knew that even though I had tried really hard to cover it, those were my bed sheets. What do we wear to be acceptable in front of God? How are we saved? This is a key question, you know. How are we accepted? How can we be saved and at peace? What do we have to wear? Well, Jesus told a story. He told this story in the Gospel of Luke. You know, the Gospel of Luke is the gospel that uses the word Savior and salvation more than any of the other gospels. And Jesus told the story on how God views us. And he told the story to some people that had a very interesting characteristics, two characteristics. This is Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So they think they're good and they're well-dressed and they look at other people and despise them. That is the audience of Jesus for this parable. So let's go to Luke 18 and we're going to find two men which are here. I drew them for you so that you could see the difference. One is a Pharisee. He feels very proud of who he is. And he is, you will see in a moment, telling God all the good things so that, you know, God is lucky to have him. The other man is a publican or a tax collector who at the time were hated by people because they worked for the oppressors getting taxes from their own countrymen. So let's start. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Interesting. Both people are going to the temple to pray. The first one, a Pharisee, and the other one, a tax collector. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Very interesting sentence here. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I get." So this man does a beautiful prayer and in the form of a psalm of thanksgiving. And he brings two lists to God. He has a list of all that he doesn't do and all the things that he does do. "You know, here are all the things I do, God. You should be very proud of me. These are all the things I don't do. You should be very proud of me." And he uses the tax collector as an example of what not to be. And he says that he also fasts twice a week, which was more than was required even for a Pharisee at the time. So he has all this pious atmosphere around him, right? He is a church-going, always grateful member of the church. I think it's really interesting what Plummer says. He says, he glances at God, but contemplates himself. You know, he's so grateful, but he's thankful for his own deeds, not so much for God's deeds. And there is a scholar, his name is Leon Morris, who says this: what the Pharisee said about himself was true. His trouble was not that he was not far enough along the road, but that he was on the wrong road altogether. He thought he could impress God with his own merits. In contrast, we have the other person, verse 13, the tax collector. standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. That's why I have him looking down. He doesn't even want to look up. He feels so unworthy. Under a great conviction of his sin, because the tax collectors many times took money for themselves, and they were known for being shady in their business. He feels so bad that he doesn't even want to look up, and he's unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Beating the breast was a sign of sorrow. And it's interesting because he asked for mercy from God, and he calls himself the sinner. There's a definite article in the Greek. He doesn't say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But he says, the sinner, like he's the only sinner in the whole world. Be merciful to me, the sinner. He has no list, not the bad that he's not doing or the good that he's doing. He just calls himself the sinner and asks God for mercy because he doesn't have any merits to show. And Jesus said on verse 14, I tell you that this man, the sinner, went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Justified means declared just in front of God. What is going to cover you so that God says, yeah, that is acceptable to me? Well, many of us have been confused all of our lives, thinking that we have to do good merits in order to be acceptable to God, to be covered in his sight. Even Adam and Eve thought that. They start putting leaves on themselves to try to cover themselves when they lost the covering that God had given them when they sinned. But no one will be justified or saved by their own merits. Nobody's good enough. The one that asks for mercy is the one that receives a covering, not of themselves, is the righteousness of Christ, the robe that he purchased for us at the cross, that covers us as a gift, not because we're worthy of it, or because we're so good, or because we're so righteous, but because he gives us this gift and covers us. You are covered when you believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to live with shame or guilt or fear about what's going to happen in the judgment or at the end of times or when you die. You are covered by Christ when you ask for his mercy. Yes, it's true. The grace of God changes us and transforms us. I'm sure that this man, when he went home and God declared him just, I'm sure the grace of God transformed him and he stopped robbing people and all of that. But you know what's interesting? No matter how good he got with God, his prayer never changed. Because if one day he's so good that he comes back to church and says, oh, I thank you, God, that I no longer have all those sins that all the people have. I thank you because now I fast twice a week and I do all the things right. Well, that day he's not going to go home justified because God declares just those who ask for his mercy. The principle is no one has any reason to boast before God. He who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever looks to God for mercy will find it. You are covered no matter how dark the sin, how far the detour. When you ask for God for mercy, he will cover you. Because to be saved, to be acceptable to God, we don't wear our own merits. We wear the gift that Christ gives us, that is his own righteousness. Yes, you are covered.
What a blessing. Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, or even watch some part of today's episodes or programs again, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, we'll be right here with you tomorrow morning. We'll have music, a short talk on transformative grace, and John Bradshaw from It Is Written will also have the devotional thought for us. We can't wait to see you there.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. And check out the website. We're sure you'll be blessed.
You know, we have a Bible promise that we want to share with you before we go. And today's Bible promise is found in Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. And it says, surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen, friends. His goodness and love will follow us. What a promise. We've so enjoyed our time with you this morning, and we can't wait to see you again tomorrow.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that after being blessed so deeply and so richly with this program today, we can now go into our day and know that your goodness will follow us into a new day. So we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would fill us with hope as we keep looking towards you and walking with you by faith. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.